But I didn't know if I should pull my Bible up. Our scripture today is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. And in it, Paul is speaking of things that are coming and our preparation, what we need to do to get ready. Hear these words of scripture. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorable as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not debauchery or licentiousness, not quarreling or jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. We have to get ready. We have to wake up. Wake up, wake up. How many of you wake up at a natural time? Like, you know, automatically you wake up at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever. How many? You have a natural time, do you? Okay, how many of you have to have an alarm clock to get up? Yeah, yeah. My natural time of getting up is somewhere around 7:30. Unfortunately, that won't work. Unless I come in, you know, with bedhead and, you know, pajamas on to work. We all do have a natural clock. And some of us need more sleep and some need less. And I used to have, you know, some of my grandparent-like people that would tell me, you know, the older you get, the less you'll sleep, so enjoy your sleep now. And you know what? I find that to be true. I can't sleep as much as I used to. Back in my teenage years, way back before Jesus was born, I could sleep until noon, like Saturday morning, afternoon, whatever it was. I couldn't do that today, no matter how hard I tried. Even when I'm sick, I wake up. Well, Jesus wants us to be awake and alert for his coming, for the preparation of his coming. And he also wants us to live as a people who have hope in him. Now, we have just decorated this beautiful tree, and we did it, each of us, by bringing an ornament, some of us had to, and adding it to the tree, and together, collectively, we brought beauty into the world, and that's one of the things Jesus would like us to remember. This passage that we have from Paul in Romans today talks about you need to set aside all the garbage. That's usually the world. And focus your mind and your heart and your soul on Jesus Christ. Focus on what's coming. Focus on the beauty of what is now. I told a story last night. I'll do a brief reversion today. But I told a story last night of my cousin who had a son when he was about 4 years old around Christmas time. They decided that they would go to the car wash and they would clean out the car. And Lynn and Brian, I'm Brian's godmother, but Lynn and Brian went to the car wash, and they washed the car. And while they were washing the car, Lynn got this bright idea to tell Brian about how that's sort of like Jesus washing us clean. Where she got that idea, I don't know. But anyway, he liked that idea. When he was baptized, I think he was a little disappointed there were no jets. But anyway. And then they started cleaning out the inside of the car. And Lynn was trying to clean up a spill of soda in the front on the floorboard. And she suddenly was not hearing anything from Brian, 4-year-old Brian. You know what happens when you don't hear anything from a 4-year-old? You go looking. What's going on? What's going on? So she called for him a couple of times, and then finally she looked up, and he was sitting in the back seat of their car, and in one hand he had 2 pennies, and in another hand he had a wiffle ball. You know what a wiffle ball is? Anybody ever play wiffle ball? It's that one with the holes in it, you know, that just smacked with a bat. And he was just sitting there looking at the wiffle ball and the 2 pennies. And Lynn said, well, what are you doing here, Brian? And he said, Mom, I found 2 pennies and a wiffle ball. I mean, life don't get much better than this. Can we live in that place this Advent? Can we live in that place where 2 pennies and a wiffle ball is enough to make us sit back and say life is good? There is hope. Can we ignore some of the media? Can we ignore some of the papers? Can we ignore some of the pictures we see? Can we ignore some of the garbage that's out there? Can we ignore some of the people who will say, the world is coming to an end? Now, if Jesus is coming back, okay, everybody face east. But there's a whole different thing between faithful people saying the Lord will return and naysayers saying it's doomsday, it's doomsday. Okay? That's a whole different thing. And we live in the hope that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all took on Christ when we made our confession of faith. Which brings me to the fork. Some of you have heard the story before. Act like you haven't. Some of you have not heard this story before. This is a story of hope. There was an elderly lady. I gotta say, before I tell you the story, I gotta say, for me, this embodies Paul's idea of living in hope and putting off all of the worldly things and only taking the essentials. This is essential. At least as a symbol. An elderly lady went in to talk to her pastor about her funeral arrangements. And she said, Pastor, she said, I have a very special request, and it's going to sound very, very weird to you, but I want you to promise that you're going to do it for me. And the pastor said, well, if it's not too strange, I will. And the lady said, no, you've got to promise that you're going to do this for me. And the pastor said, okay, I promise. He trusted the lady not to, you know, ask him to do, like, headstands or something at her funeral. And so she took out a fork, and she handed it to him, and she said, I need you to put this in my pocket, in my casket. And he said, what? And she said, you know how we have fellowship dinners? And you know, we have all of our yummy, delicious things to eat. But when we get done with the main course, when everybody's cleaning up the plates, they say, save your fork, the best is yet to come. And that means dessert, right? Pies and cakes, ice cream and yummy, delicious things. And she said, I've always looked at this fork when I'm at a fellowship dinner and thought about my faith. I've had an incredible life of goodness and joy and love and hope. But I have lived in the hope of one day meeting my Lord and Savior and knowing that no matter how good my life was, how bad my life was, how dull my life was, how exciting my life was, that the best was yet to come. And so she said, I need you to put this in my casket with me. And when people walk by at the visitation, I need you to tell them, remind them, the best is yet to come. Every time you pick up a fork in this Advent season, I want you to remember the hope that we live in, that the best is yet to be. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, let everyday symbols like tree ornaments and forks remind us that the best is yet to be. That you come to us during this season and that you grant us everything that we need to prepare for your coming. That you come to us in this season and you grant us a kind of peace that we can't find anywhere else. That you give us love that is unconditional and that you create joy in the midst of pain and suffering. Lord Jesus Christ, be with us every single moment of this Advent season and remind us to live not by the ways of the world, but by your ways, O Lord, by your ways. Amen. The Advent season is a good time for us to rework our faith if we need to take that pliable clay that is our heart and soul, and to help God remake it into something that's very pliable and easy to mold into a more faithful, living creature of God. As we stand to sing our hymn of invitation this morning, I want you to open up your heart and let God make it soft and pliable so that you may live in more hope than you've ever known before. Let us stand and sing.